empty, out of dough. The well is dry.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Happy Memorial Day. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Here's a news flash. The U.S. government is broke. And that's coming from the commander-in-chief. President Barack Obama made the comments in an interview over the weekend with C-SPAN, answering a question about the gigantic national debt and deficit and when the nation would run out of money. The president responded, quote, "Well, we're out of money now." Of course, the government keeps running and keeps bailing entire industries out of their doldrums, but Mr. Obama reiterated things aren't so doom and gloom, and he's got other things on his plate.
The economy is going to bounce back, and we want to get out of the business of helping auto companies as quickly as we can. I've got more than enough to do without that. In the same way that I want to get out of the business of helping banks.
President Barack Obama in an interview on C-SPAN over the weekend. I'd say stocks might have a reaction to this country gone broke thing, but investors are sitting this one out on this Memorial Day. Back on Friday, the S&P closed down 0.2%. The Dow and NASDAQ basically flat. Slight gains for the markets last week. No trading today for Memorial Day, as I mentioned. In Britain, it is a bank holiday, so no FTSE trading there. But Paris and Frankfurt still down right now, and Asian markets closed higher today. There's a big meeting going on in Rome of the group of eight industrialized countries. They're talking about energy. You betcha oil production and pricing are up for grabs. Oil, of course, something the U.S. has been vocal about with the numbers going up lately, with the effort to try and keep those gas prices low so an economic recovery can take hold. Carol Ahoyas is chief financial correspondent for the Financial Times. She joins us right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've got the U.S. Energy Secretary, Stephen Chu, who's there, and the rest of the countries of the G8 represented. What are they working toward this week?
Well, there are two things that generally these countries are worried about. And one is energy security, and the other is clean energy. Depends which country you are. The producers are worrying that consumers will move towards alternatives and no longer take their oil. And so they don't know how much to invest in oil. And the consumers want to make sure that they have a free-flowing, reliable source of oil and gas, which fundamentally is still kind of the backbone of economic recovery.
So, Carol, Secretary Chu is pressing for less volatility in oil markets. What's he talking about as far as volatility?
Well, we've had a very volatile last half year. We were at $147 a barrel in July, and then the economic recession happened, and oil prices went all the way to $32 a barrel. When you've got so much volatility, oil companies just don't know what to do. They think, well, should we invest in the future? Are oil prices going to be low for years and years and years and we won't get a return on investment? Or should we invest now? Because, in fact, anything we put money into today, we won't see the oil for 5 or 6 years. So what happens is a kind of a paralysis.
Now, there's a big OPEC meeting this week, right? What are they going to be talking about?
Well, OPEC is critical in all of this. In terms of long-term investment, they're the ones who have the vast majority of the oil fields. In the short term, what OPEC has been doing is trying to stop the oil price from falling to a very, very low level. The U.S. hasn't been too unhappy about this because, remember, the U.S. is still the third largest producer of oil worldwide. Yes, they're a big consumer and they're the number one consumer, but there are a lot of U.S. oil companies, small U.S. producers that are hurting as well. So the U.S. stands in this weird position. On the one hand, they're actually quite happy, although they can't admit it, that the oil prices come up just a little bit. On the other hand, Chu has been very clear in saying, look, there's a limit to this. We've got to be very careful because if you overstep your bounds, it'll be bad for everybody. The economy is not going to recover. And so it'll be bad not only for the consuming nations, but it'll also be bad for the producing nations because we won't need their oil.
Carol Ahoyas, the chief energy correspondent for the Financial Times, thank you.
Thanks very much for having me.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
Lebanon may have a reputation for guns and bombs. It also has some creative businessmen and a good banking system. Last year, that translated into the country's first plastic surgery loan. Now, the same bank is offering fertility loans. Ben Gilbert reports from Beirut.
When Maher Mezhir, first heard that his fellow Lebanese were more infertile than the average person, the marketing professor started doing his homework on married couples.
We have done a quantitative research on 600 persons showing that 18.7% couldn't have babies.
Mezhir, who's also a marketing manager at Lebanon's First National Bank, saw dollar signs. He calculated that each year, around 10,000 couples in Lebanon undergo fertility treatments of some kind. Mezhir's research resulted in this. This is the First National Bank's ad for a fertility loan. It's part of an ad blitz that features a very small, cute newborn baby curled up and sleeping on a blanket. The kid is on billboards and in magazines. Lebanese sociologists have noted the pressure society exerts on newlyweds to have children here. Mezhir says Lebanese families can be overbearing.
If after 3 or 5 or 6 months they don't see that the lady is pregnant, they start asking, is it she or you? Are you trying? When are you trying?
And adoption is not an option for most Lebanese. It's banned for Muslims, and Christians frown on it. Infertility is also grounds for divorce here. But now Mezhir says his loan can help. Couples can borrow $7,000 at 5% interest. It can be used to finance in vitro fertilization surgery or fertility treatments. Mezhir says the bank isn't looking to profit off the loans. He says they are humanitarian and good marketing for FNB Bank.
Because this is the best way to touch their heart. Each time they would look at their baby and the baby would smile, they would remember FNB. It is the best way to get into their life.
Some Lebanese have objected to Mezhir's fertility loan. But Mezhir says in the ad campaign's first week, his bank received more than 100 calls a day. In Beirut, I'm Ben Gilbert for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. I hope you enjoy your Memorial Day holiday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.